following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. This is Dr. Craig, eager to share with you what I believe is the cutting edge of spirituality in our day. In spite of all the calamities in our world, I am filled with hope and joy that we, you and I, and all humanity are on the verge of a new spiritual awakening. This shift in spirituality is perhaps best expressed by declaring, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And that's what I want to explore with you in these podcasts of Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. Today's topic is the inner temple. Sacred temples are, of course, at the heart of all the great world religions. Ones that are of note and help bring this to mind are the Touro Jewish Synagogue in Newport, Rhode Island. I've been there, and it's a classic colonial synagogue going back to the founding of our nation. Or we could think of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Been there and seen that at the top of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And then, of course, there are a variety of Hindu temples that dot the landscape in India for all the gods and goddesses. I've seen a very unique one where the Hindu community pooled their resources so that when you go into their sacred space, there are some 10 Hindu gods or goddesses there before you, gloriously displayed. Or, in Christian terms, of course, the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. It's the closest thing I think we have to a truly grand Gothic cathedral here in the United States, and it is indeed a wonder to behold. Well, you get the idea. I want to focus on the archetypal sacred temple out of the biblical tradition to use it as a well-nigh mythic example of the importance of the sacred temple. And that, of course, would be King Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. It has particular meaning for me because I'm a Freemason and cherish what it symbolically expresses. But I think because it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, everyone can appreciate it as an archetype and what it says to us. The opulence was unbelievable. Conceived primarily of cedar and bronze and gold, it is indeed the pinnacle of what a sacred temple in this world might be. So much so, by the way, that the word profane as opposed to sacred comes from the Latin profanus, meaning outside of the temple, anything that's not the temple, therefore not truly sacred. Sacred temples have that much meaning and power in our spiritual traditions. So where are the temples of today? All around us, of course. Whenever you go out into the world, you will constantly be seeing, wherever you may go, in whatever nation, temples all about us, for all manner of religious traditions, reaching out to the human soul. Yet, we all know that as we now move into the 21st century, these sacred sites are waning. We live in a time of what we might call the exodus from the temples of the world. Where will the temples in the future be? For example, here in the United States, we have already seen churches that have been, dare I say it, converted into social service centers, restaurants, personal homes, gift shops, musical concert venues, arts and crafts emporiums, and unique and spacious settings for all manner of business and technology. Is that the future? Perhaps. Now, don't get me wrong, though. I think that there will always be a spiritual desire to have temples, because at times we have a deep desire to enter a sacred space dedicated to the divine presence, a special sacred place to draw near to God. This, of course, is particularly true at the junctures of life's rite of passage, such as the dedication of a child to our Creator, to be confirmed in one's faith, to be recognized as an adult within a faith tradition, the commitment of marital union, and the remembrance of those passing over from this world to the next. These marker events gain heightened meaning in the setting of sacred temples. Then, of course, there will always be those devotees who find regular and even perhaps just sporadic attendance in the worship of their religious tradition, there in a temple that can anchor their lives. Now, all of this is to be cherished and respected, yet it is clear that we now are in a new spiritual era, which is a burning all around us, and calls us, I think, to a new vision of the temple, a new understanding of where we can go to worship and be renewed. Interestingly enough, we can take our cue from King Solomon of old, when he was on the verge of erecting the great temple in Jerusalem. Solomon had a luminous dream, and I'm referring now to the third chapter of 1 Kings, if you want a reference to see it for yourself. In the dream, the Almighty appeared and, in recognition of Solomon's devotion, asked him, "What shall I give thee?" Solomon simply asked for a spiritual blessing of an understanding heart and the ability to discern between good and evil. All this so that he might govern with true justice. Because Solomon did not ask anything selfishly for himself, his desire was granted. This gift of wisdom was further demonstrated when Solomon was to dedicate the finished temple in all of its splendor, for it was indeed to be nothing less than the dwelling place on earth for the Most High. And in his oration before the assembled throng in Israel, Solomon, as is found in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, 27th verse, is nearly drumstruck with a profound spiritual recognition. Quote, "But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this temple which I have built?" It was Solomon's destiny to build that great temple. So this awe-inspiring endeavor did come to pass. Yet even in the building, Solomon foretells of his own spiritual recognition some 3,000 years later, which is for us. As the 20th century breaks in, I am reminded of the theologian and Bible translator J.B. Phillips, who expresses the spirituality this way: "Our God is too small. Our God is too small. No temple made of human hands can contain the Creator God of this vast and amazing cosmos." With that understanding, the great irony becomes clear. Finally, we come to realize and discern that the temple is not some grand edifice outside of us. It is rather within. The great temple is deep within each of us. It is an inner temple lodged in our souls. I experienced this for myself in a dream about 30 years ago now, but that dream was so vivid that it stayed with me like it was yesterday. In the dream, I have a profound awareness of going down within myself, as if I'm descending deep down within my own consciousness and then unconsciousness to the very depths of my being. Then, suddenly, there is an opening, and before me, an inner space, deep within, flooded with a radiant light. I'm immediately drawn to the source of the light. As I move forward, I sense that there is something flipping against my legs as I walk. Looking down, I realize that I am wearing the garb of a monk, and it is the robe that I am feeling against my legs, and I'm in a chapel, most holy. Then I'm struck with the configuration of the altar directly now before me. The altar is simple enough in design and made of wood, but the light source does not sit upon the altar, as we would normally expect with a candle or some kind of lamp or lantern. Rather, the light is a radiant orb of glory hovering over the altar, vibrating with spiritual energy. I realize that this is the luminous presence within me, emanating divine truth and love. I am so overwhelmed by this spiritual vision that I become instantly awake. Once awake, I experience fully all that I have just seen. All I can do is confess my unworthiness and praise God for such a blessing. I came away from this luminous moment with two startling understandings, one being more personal, that is, of personal growth, and the other, certainly universal in application. I was raised in the Christian faith not to believe in reincarnation. That was, you know, what the Eastern traditions had, but not us. But this luminous dream started me on the path to learn the spiritual truth of past lives. For I came out of this dream sequence with a strong conviction that I had, in fact, been a monk in a previous life. And looking back now, I would also realize that this helps to explain why I have felt drawn to study with the Jesuits and to dig deeply into the Roman Catholic tradition of spiritual discernment, even though this is contrary to everything I was brought up to believe. The more universal import of this dream compels me to proclaim that we are all blessed with a resplendent inner temple. Deep within each of us, there is within our depths a divine spark. This soul force within us is our touchstone with the divine presence. This resonates with the depths of other world religions as well. For instance, the living spirit in Judaism that animates our very being, and the Atman of the Hindu tradition. The Quran connects here with the declaration, and this is really a remarkable understanding, the declaration that Allah is closer to us than our own breath. The eternal blessing of the inner temple is that each of us has this inward sacred space, this seat of the soul, where we can go deep within for spiritual reflection, prayer, and meditation. Certainly, time set aside in silence for this encounter with the divine within becomes the ideal. Yet I am convinced that once we have opened up this channel, we can tap into the power and guidance it offers anywhere, anytime. But here's the thing. I have learned over the years that going down, as I call it, the Quakers have a wonderful way of saying that as well, centering down, that going down into my soul takes courage and humility. We can't get to our inner temple without going through, as it were, our own demons and foolishness, as well as our giftedness and goodness. But this becomes a great spiritual blessing, for we must come to terms with all that we are in order to learn of ourselves and to obtain spiritual growth. The inner temple enables our spiritual quest to be truly centered in the divine truth and love. We need not fear our inner life or wallow in darkness. Instead, we open ourselves to the very depths of who we are, and we let the luminous light pour into our souls. In this glory, we are then blessed beyond measure and become whole and compassionate and spiritually strong. So, hearken back yet again to King Solomon's temple. Remember that even with all of its ostentatious splendor, King Solomon still was grasped by the spiritual depth of his edifice. For all of its opulence, Solomon had the discerning wisdom to create in the very heart of the temple the Holy of Holies. Therein, only the high priest could enter, and then only one day a year, the high holy day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Solomon knew that even in the most sacred of temples, there had to be this inner sacred space for the dwelling place of God. The Shekinah, the very presence of the divine, was to be found there, in that inner space, even more so than for each of us. For each of us has that inner temple where we can be open and blessed by the very presence of God. And there we can enter so to meet our true selves and our Creator. And this to do anytime, anywhere. With that, I sign off, and I thank you for tuning in to Christian Enlightenment and Beyond. If you want to contact me, I'd be glad to receive your concerns or even your criticism. Yes, I welcome it all. You have opportunity to do that right there on the podcast page. So please take advantage of that. I'd love to hear from you. I leave you then with a heartfelt blessing. Know that you are infinitely precious to God and that God loves you. Know that you have a unique purpose in God, and may all that you do be done in loving service. Know that you are living eternal life in God even now, in this moment, and forever. Amen.